Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 411, Single-Hearted Devotion. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, March 9th, 2025 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Last weekend, Tanya delivered a powerful message addressing that we are the bride of Christ, and she spoke a bit to married couples. So I didn't want anyone to feel left out. I've always been one that, like in school, elementary school, I always kind of gravitated toward the less popular kids. I was sort of less popular myself. And so, but I guess we could say God used me to like, come on to the one that was kind of rejected or whatever. And so left out, that I never wanted anyone to feel left out. So I don't want the singles to feel left out today. So I'm going to speak a bit to the single people in the room. And just like she said, if you're not married last week, don't turn off your ears. So if you're not single, you can still listen, because there's still a lot of good biblical principles in what I'm going to share. And maybe, probably, most likely, you know some single people in your life, and you can share wisdom with them. You can help them. You can encourage them. And, you know, like for maybe your children are single, and it'd be good for you as a parent to know these things, to know what the Lord says about walking in wisdom, walking in the fear of the Lord in your single season. Whether you are wanting to be single or whether you're not wanting to be single and it's like a waiting time. Either way, we have a chance. We have an opportunity all the time in our lives and with who we are and with our marital status to bring excellence, to honor the Lord, to walk in fear of the Lord. And that's really what I want to address. And we're all called to do that, right? No matter what our marital status is. In every area of our lives, he wants us to walk in honoring him, in reverence to him. And like I said, fear of the Lord. You're going to hear that a lot today. Fear of the Lord, because, and especially in our relationships, because the bottom line is this, and this is why I'm preaching this message. Jesus is coming back, and we don't got time. I said earlier, ain't got time for that. Like, we don't have time to be messing around, to be hooking up, yoking up with, creating Ishmaels in our lives, like going on these detours that we can't blame on the devil. We can't blame on God. It's us making decisions that are going to take us out of being part of the bride of Christ. He's coming back for the body of Christ to be without spot or wrinkle. And so let's get on board with that. And if you can serve God and bring honor and reverence and bring your piece of the body of Christ to the table while being married, then do it. Praise the Lord. And if you are going to do that and honor God and be single, then do it. Right? And so that's the heart of this message. Like, all of us are called to honor God. All of us are called to reverence God, to walk in his fear, because he is coming back and we have a job to do. So let's not be just distracted that the only thing that we talk to God about is our marital status, right? Or the only, like, that's our only preoccupation. Because if you're single, serve God, single-heartedly devoted to him, right? And if you're married, then have that. That should be a kingdom marriage, that together you are glorifying God, that you are working toward serving God, that you are doing that actively, pursuing the Lord in your marriage. That's the purpose of marriage, right? It's not just to, you know, whatever. Praise the Lord. I'm a little, all right, I'm going to take a sip. Everyone take a deep breath while I take a sip, okay? Praise God. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 say, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So I'm using this, this is talking about working, whatever you do. Well, whatever you do in your life has to, you know, a part of your life is relating to people, is having relationships in your life, right? Correct? And so that's an important part of our life. It's important how you relate to others, what you do in your relationships, how you're treating those around you is important to God. And so whatever, whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever you are doing with the people in your lives, do it as though you're serving God. You're working for Him. Your sight is on Him, no matter who is around you or not around you, right? Because who you are serving is Christ Jesus. When you're single, you can serve Christ Jesus. When you're married, you certainly serve Christ Jesus. You guys all know the story about when, you know, Pastor Santos and I got in a little argument before dinner. This was in the first maybe year or two of our marriage. And it was dinner time, and I was hungry, and I certainly knew that he was hungry. And so I did not, we had parted ways after we had some words and had a sharp disagreement. And I was like, I'm not going to serve him. I'm doing this and blah, blah, you know, stewing a little bit. And the Lord said, will you make dinner for me? And so this is just an illustration, those of you that have heard the story, to say that whatever you do it for Christ. So when you're married, there are times where God says, just serve me. And of course, you're serving your husband. I'm like, Lord, I think you're tricking me here. But I did get my heart into it. I went into the kitchen. You guys would be so proud. Power of the Holy Spirit, it must have been, because I didn't even, you know, I wasn't slamming kitchen cupboard doors like I'm making you dinner. No, I got my heart in it. God, I'm gonna serve you. I'm going to make you the best dinner I can make. It wasn't tacos, but, you know, Santos sat down. I didn't say much, and he started eating, and he looked at me like shocked, you know, like, I can't believe you made me dinner. Well, he said that. He said, thank you. I didn't think you were going to make me dinner. And I mean, I didn't plan anything out. It just blurted out of my mouth. I didn't make you dinner. He's like, what? I'm eating your dinner. I said, I made dinner for Jesus. And you're just happening to benefit from it. And he was like, okay, I think I'll just be quiet and eat here. Praise the Lord. So you certainly, and if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's times where you're just like, I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving, you know, you see your spouse in front of you, but you have to picture Jesus to really get your heart into, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're serving, I mean, with your children as well. When you serve them, you're serving Jesus. Right? Because they're beloved of the Lord. And so we can apply this excellence to our relationships. He wants not to just be involved in our relationships. He wants to be at the center. He wants to be right there in the center between every connection, every relationship that you have. And so you must approach relationships with this excellence of the Lord, with fear of the Lord. If you need some help with that, just read Proverbs month after month. Just on the first day, start with Proverbs 1 and, you know, 31 days in the month, except for February. And you read that through again and again. It'll whiplash. It'll hit you in the face. Like, I always felt like, oh, the book of Proverbs, it's a slap in me. I just, conviction all over the place. But it'll help you walk in fear of the Lord. It'll help you, praise the Lord. Okay, so we want King Jesus over our relationships. It's having lordship of Christ. We say, Lord, Lord, right? Is he really Lord? Is he Lord of your singlehood? Is he Lord of your marriage? Is he Lord of your parenting? Is he Lord of your relationships at work? He is in the center. He's the jefe, we say in Spanish. That means chief, the boss, right? He is the head honcho. That's having lordship. I mean, we can sing these songs, but then when we walk and make decisions and the words we speak and all the things, are we giving reverence to the Lord in how we relate to people? That's lordship. And as singles, you know, I say we, I'm not single anymore, but I was single a long time, so I got good at this stuff, guys. I mean, by the grace of God, he helped me. And now that I'm married, this message came out. Praise the Lord. I wanted to be married probably just right out of college. Did that happen? No, not quite. God had kind of a different plan for me. Praise the Lord, I got like in tune with his plan and just went with it. Praise God. It wasn't always easy, but single-hearted devotion first to the Lord. Because if we're so concerned about just filling a place in our heart, that's probably a red flag. It's probably a red flag like it was for me, and I'll tell you about a testimony a little bit later on, that you need to run to Jesus. You need to run to him to be your satisfaction. You need to run so that he can fill up your heart, because he's the only one that will do it and can do it. And if you are longing for and even considering or entering into a relationship with that thing so strong on your heart, like, I need somebody to complete me or finish me. Danger! Danger! I can say that because that's where I was at. God had to shake me out of that, because no person can fill that void that only God wants to fill. He wants to fill that place in your heart. He's the only one that can truly satisfy you and complete you. And so if you enter into a relationship or a marriage, you know, expecting the other person to fill that, you're in for some trouble, for some ouchies, like headbanging, like, because that person can't do it. And it puts a false expectation on them. It puts a demand on both people. And it's just not a good thing. It's toxic. It's dangerous. So let's keep our hearts focused on him. Okay? And so I'm going to give some things to consider here about those that are wanting to be married, like when you're considering a relationship. First of all, don't look at the world. Like, stop watching these movie. I mean, I like a good Hallmark movie once in a while. But there was a time when I was single where I had to stop watching those things. I remember confessing to Pastor Karen at an encounter retreat, like, watching these terrible shows, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and I was like, I have to renounce this out of my life, because it wasn't helping me. I was wanting to be married, and it wasn't helpful, you know. And it's the world's approach, is what I'm getting at. The world's approach to relationships is sensual. It's carnal. It'll lead you down the wrong path. So stop watching, you know, stop watching that stuff. Stop taking it in. Look to God. So the world's approach is so much different than a godly approach, which involves yielding to the Lord. Like, I don't know how many times I just had to yield and say, God, I think you want me to be married. I mean, I believe that's the part of the call on my life, and to be a mother and to serve you in this way. But, like, help me. And to surrender that need and surrender the time. Oh, the time. Surrender the time to him. Because how old was I when I got married? 39. So I waited a long time for God's best. God's best. And he's good. And it's good. I'm jumping ahead here in the story, but it's good when you wait for God's best. So the godly approach to, you know, considering, like a single person considering a relationship, marriage, it's not sensual, it's not carnal, it's yielded to the Lord. It involves prayer. It involves, God, give me your wisdom. Give me your grace to walk in my single season honoring you and bringing you glory, right? But asking him, consulting with God, asking for wisdom, asking for prayer. Pray for your spouse, your future spouse. You know, we need counsel, wisdom of the Lord. And the Bible says he who asks for wisdom, will God will give it generously. Who wants wisdom generously? Whether you're saying, this is for everybody, right? If you need wisdom, press in and ask him. He will give it generously. That's like over the top, running over, right? He wants to give that to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Will it always be easy? No, probably not. But, you know, we have blind spots, and especially in this area of the heart and relationships and like those that are really like a little like me, like a little romantic and idealistic. And, you know, like we have some blind spots where it's just like you see something or someone and you're like, you know, and there can be a blind, there can be a, help us, Jesus, right? Because Jesus is coming back. I got to focus on Jesus, not get caught up in, over here, you know, the Galan goes by and I'm like drooling, you know, my Mr. Muscle Man or whatever. And so, I'm yielded to the Lord. I'm yielded to the Lord. And I got him. Praise the Lord. CrossFit, we have a joke about CrossFit in our home. Praise the Lord. I got myself off track with the CrossFit joke. All right. Another deep breath. Every time I sip, you guys can take a deep breath. All right. We'll get through this. It'll be good. All right. I hope this is helping somebody. So I was talking about the worldly approach to considering a relationship, right? Marriage versus a godly approach. So another big difference is that the world's approach is just like, let's go out and have a good time. Let's just have some entertainment. Let's just see what happens. Maybe we'll be dating for 20 years, but it's all right. Like, there's no commitment. There's no anything. And like, God doesn't, I don't believe that honors God. God is such a loyal, faithful God, and we are supposed to imitate him, right? And so, like, the world views emotional love just as emotional, sensual, carnal, and it's based on changing feelings that go up and down. Like, you hear, you know, people that aren't saved say things like, well, maybe even they are saved, we fell out of love. We fell out of love. First of all, fall into love is kind of a strange phrase anyway, right? Like, it's just blinded and I'm walking along and then I just fall right into it. Like, it's kind of, I don't know where that phrase came from, but it's just like all based on emotions. And who knows, as people of God, blood bought children of the Most High King, we're not called to walk by our emotions. That's a good place to say amen. Okay, pastor's got it. All right. Amen. Like, we are called to be led by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And that's what we need to have lead us. So I know it's a challenge. I mean, we have emotions, and emotions are good. They're God-given, but they're not what rules the ship. They're not what leads the train, so to speak. It should be the Spirit of God. And so if you are considering a relationship with a certain person, you better be on your knee. You better be consulting with the Spirit of God, not just, there goes Galan, and like what your eyes see or what your ears hear, right? I'm preaching today. Hope somebody's getting this. Okay. Or like somebody told me recently, we just grew apart. Wait, what? Love, and when you when you commit to somebody, when you commit to loving somebody, it's just that, a commitment. You're making a decision. So the world bases love and therefore marriage on an emotion. Like, well, we just grew apart. No, no. I, up here at the altar, well, at Lakeside Park, I said I do, and that was me making a decision to love you and serve you. Not tacos, but, well, serve you food when I didn't feel like serving food, and you had made me mad, but I still, you know. And so what I'm saying is, it's not an emotional feeling day in, day out. There's days that, oh, I feel it. And there's days that, I mean, I have an amazing husband, but there's days that I just don't, you know that. You know, with any kind of relationship, you know what I mean, you're not like on fire all the time. If you are, we better lay hands on you today, you know? And so, but the world just lets the emotions lead everything and make decisions for them, where when we're people of God, we consult, you know, the spirit inside of me is led by the Spirit of God, hopefully. And then I make decisions and commitments, and I give my word and say, I do, in a marriage situation. And then I'm expected to walk that out in reverence. So there's none of this falling out of love. I've made a commitment and made a decision. So if you're single and you're looking to, you know, you want to be married, think about this. It's a commitment. It's a decision. And, you know, it is the rest of your life. And so when you're approaching entering into a relationship with someone, You better think about these things. You better get the emotions to the back seat and really ask God, because I say it's better to be single and happy than married and miserable. Can the married people say amen, right? I mean, and so singles, you just listen to that and just take our word for it that this is real. Okay, so the whole thing about dating, I'm not a big fan of dating. This isn't thus saith the Lord, and maybe it's just, you know, some semantics here, but I believe, because of what I'm talking about, of like entering into a commitment, a committed relationship, I believe that, you know, if you want a term for it, courtship is more appropriate. At least I just like courtship, because dating is like, oh, let's just go out and have fun, you know, and let's just tickle our fancy and do whatever and the emotions, and you know, we're doing all this stuff on the first time that we go out, and it's like, wait, what's happening here? And you let the emotions and you let the physical and all this stuff lead you, and then you end up in the pit crying or something, you know. It just, it's not a good direction. And so let me say this, that the goals are different in dating versus courtship. And so I'm going to just describe to you like what a godly courtship could look like. I don't know if should is the right word, but, you know, you take this to the Lord. But I'll, you know, share a little bit of my own experience. You know, I was brought up in the things of God very strongly in Argentina with the organization Youth with a Mission, right? YWAM. And they, YWAM Argentina, it has really strong discipleship. That was like, I got discipled, man, whether I liked it or not, whether I wanted it or not, and especially in the area of relationships. And so within YWAM, they had, you know, developed a term called special friendship. And that was kind of, whether you call it courting or like the process before courting, special friendship was taking a time to seek the Lord. So there was an attraction between two people, right? And there is, instead of just jumping into something, there would be a time, a set time, with kind of leadership of the disciple makers of the two people. Does that make sense? So it's not just these two young 19-year-olds that have the hormones pumping that just decide they're going to do something, you know, like start a relationship. And so there's spiritual covering and people praying for the, you know, for these people. And so, and depending on the age, this can look a little different, because when Santos and I began like considering a relationship, when God finally turned me around, and you know, opened my eyes that, okay, I spent all this time keeping him out here, and we were friends here at church for a long time, but I just held him out to here for a long time. When God finally opened my eyes, and I began to just say to my heart, like, I think something's happening. And so I sat on it a while, and because I prayed, because I didn't, like, I felt something changing, but I didn't want it to be my feelings that led me, right? Do you remember the conversations we had about this? Like, help, Mom and Dad. And so here's a thing, like, have a spiritual mom and dad that you can talk to. Have leadership. I'm getting off track here, but back to the special friendship. That's what, like, spiritual covering is important, because we do have blind spots, especially in this area of relationships, like romantic things. So it's good to render accounts, have accountability. And that's what, you know, the leaders in YWAM provided. So there would be a set amount of time, maybe a month, maybe 3 months, maybe, I don't know, longer, where the two people would be getting to know each other. But we had a joke that was called corazón en el freezer. We just used the word, like, heart in the freezer. Like, it's not a time to, like, get emotionally attached. Yes, you're getting to know them. You want to know their heart, but you're not, like, jumping in head first, heart first, and certainly not starting a physical relationship. So it's a time to consult God, to keep the distractions away, and just, God, what is your will? Is your will for us to be together or not? Can we serve you better together or not? And so when Santos and I began our relationship, I think it was about a month or so, where we prayed. Like, I prayed a long time before I spoke to him, and that's weird because I'm a female and usually it should be the guy, right? But our situation was a little bit different because... that's another story, but it was just different because Santos had spoken to me several times and I told him no, and, you know, I'm not interested in you and this and that. So I kind of had to be the one to, like, open that door back up. And that's why I took a long time to pray and really make sure that it was the Lord telling me to do that, because I didn't want to play around with his heart and I didn't want to waste my time. I've messed up a lot in relationships. I've been through this special friendship twice, actually, in my 7 years in YWAM. And so I wasn't messing around. And so, God, is this really you? And I remember God showing me some things about Santos and getting your green light and going to pastors and sharing that with them, not telling them I'm gonna, you know, go pursue Santos, but, like, what do you guys think? You know, because there's a difference. Can I just be honest here? There's a difference. Yes? Okay. Is that right? Okay. You guys are following? Okay. There's a difference when we talk about getting counsel. Getting counsel is not going to my spiritual leaders and telling them what I'm going to do and that I've already made the decision. Getting counsel means, I think the Lord is, you know, this is what I've been hearing from the Lord. These are dreams I'm having. This is X, Y, Z. What do you think? Because they can see things that I can't see. And they don't have the blind spot that I have when it comes to my heart and messing up and all this stuff. And they are my spiritual covering and they pray for me. And so this is so important. And this is for everybody, not just singles. So everybody tune into this, okay? It's good to have counsel. It's good. Where's my verse for that? Proverbs. Sorry, Sister Leah, I'm jumping around a little. But Proverbs 15, verse 22. It says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. So I'm not just going to get an emotional idea and decide I'm going to go do this and blah, and, like, oh, this is what I'm doing. That's not getting counsel. That's telling them what I'm doing. And their hands are kind of tied. If, let's say, God has said something else to them, well, I trust them that they're going to tell me that, that they're going to say, but it's like, I'm not really getting counsel when I think maybe I'm going to get counsel, but I'm just telling them what I'm doing, right? And so let's be open with a heart toward God to hear from him, to get his wisdom and counsel, and from the people that we give permission in our lives. Do you go around telling everybody? No. But they're, you know, your cell group leader, your disciple maker, your spiritual covering, share it with them. And with an open heart to hear what they have to say, or ask them to, you know, pray with you for a time. And so, let's see. I think I talked about all that. Okay, I'm jumping around. And so, in the special friendship kind of setup, that each person, you know, would be praying, and their leaders would be praying, and then they would share, like the two people would share at the end of that time, like, what's the direction here? Or if they were getting like, no, this isn't right, you know, they don't have to wait till the end time, and like, share that, be honest and vulnerable. And that's a praise. I mean, that's hard, but that's a praise, because like, there's a phrase that my family says, the Lord is, you're like having you dodge a bullet, you know, like saving you out of something that he knows is not right for you. You may not be able to see it because, oh, Galan. But the Spirit of God knows that Galan is really nasty behind the, you know, behind the closet door, like knows what's in his heart. And that's the thing. I'm just jumping all around today. The Lord sees the heart. The Lord sees the heart, and that's why we need counsel. That's why we need his wisdom. We need him to shed light on what's going on in this situation. Okay, here's something else important to consider. Is the person you consider marrying, are they in a relationship with Jesus? You might be like, duh, but I'm just saying, do they have a relationship with Jesus? Did you notice I didn't say, is the person you're considering a relationship or marriage with is a Christian? Because anybody can use that title. They can have a little cross necklace. They can have a bumper sticker on their car and a great little I love Jesus coffee mug. But that doesn't mean a hill of beans, okay? You know what? When you get behind the closed door, that don't mean a hill of beans. Like Pastor Don says, you can call yourself a truck driver, but, you know, there's certain things that make a truck driver. So like, is this person a follower of Jesus? Are they following Jesus on the path? It's a really good question. It's a very important question. Any relationship that you are considering, please start there. For the love of God, please start there. Okay? Because following Jesus, that'll make my job easier, okay, when you come to me. If you've started with that question and already weeded some people out, I don't mean to make light of this, but I mean, it's important, okay? Following Jesus is different than just believing in God. Oh, but he believes in God. Well, that's great. The demons believe in God too. Is he on the path? Has he submitted his life to Jesus or her? You know, have they surrendered? Important things. This is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Don't team up, or some versions say, don't be yoked with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. And I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now that is a little strong. But it's strong because he loves you and he doesn't want you drugged down in a pit, being yoked with evil, with darkness. Another important thing to consider, be a fruit inspector. What is that, you say? What fruit? Get good at inspecting what fruit is in their life. This isn't judging. This isn't making judgments on a person. But if you are considering marrying a person, yoking yourself with this other person, you better inspect the fruit. How's that looking hanging on the vine there? You know, what's coming out of their life? Watch for godly qualities or not so godly qualities. And then hopefully red flags, the alarm is going off with the Holy Spirit. You know, there should be some non-negotiable things that you're looking for. I know how many of you ladies, you know, had, if you are no longer single, or have, if you are single, had one of those lists of like, I don't think the men do this, right? Men don't do this, where they write down the list of the things that they're looking. Oh, Elizabeth, I thought she was pulling her list out. I thought she was pulling her list out. Like, I got it right here. Oh my gosh. You went like this. Like, here it is. Here's my list. It's laminated. It's got bling all over it. And it is kissed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, deep breath. Oh my gosh, that was too good. Okay, well, I'm sure she can show you her list if you want to see it. No. There should be some non-negotiable things. Okay, there's probably things on that list. Maybe you have it color coordinated with like the highlight, you know, like certain color for like the non-negotiables. And then there's some like extra things, like muscles are extra. Extra things, right? Like certain, you know, like I don't need to have this. I'm just laughing a little bit, you know, because this is, yeah. He's got to have a job. That's a good non-negotiable. You know, maybe not living with his parents. You know, I don't know. I don't want to make anyone go into condemnation or anything, but look for godly qualities. Okay, I'm reining us back in. Self-control. Fruit inspector. Like, what's coming out of their lives? Is there honesty? Is there integrity? How do they treat their parents, their children, the elderly? Like, watch them and be with this person in different situations. If you're only ever together in church, like, how are they under pressure? How are they when things get a little, you know, road rage, hopefully is you're not seeing that. But, you know, like what, what's coming out of them? It's like the toothpaste, when you squeeze it, it's, you know, whatever's inside comes out. Now, of course, no person is perfect, right? Only Jesus is perfect. So nobody's going to be perfect. And everybody has strong areas and weak areas. But how is their heart? Like, how is their heart? Is it pure? Like, even though they have a weak area and you see some, let's say you see some road rage, but they're a total saint every other time. And their heart is like, oh God, help me. You know, if the road rage is happening and they're like, God, help me. And they're surrendering and they're praying about it. And it's like, it's bothering their heart. Okay, that's a different, you know, that's different. Then you lay hands and cast it out. She says, cast it out, right? Just like, you know, that's a weak area, but their heart is wanting to do the right thing. Okay, so that's different than somebody that's just letting the road rage and not caring about it, not repenting. Like, it's just, and they think they're justified in having that attitude. That's just an example, but
over a period of time,
that's a good point. Chronically, like watch over time, not just like one day. 1 week. So again, prayer is so important in here because God will give you wisdom and direction because he knows what's in their heart. We look at the outer appearances. I've already said this, but we can get to know what God sees. And that's what God showed me, some things about Santo's heart. Good stuff, guys, really good stuff. And he showed me an eagle. I was on National Geographic. Do you remember this? I mean, I told him after. Like National Geographic, looking up what characteristics does the eagle have, because the Lord said Santos is like an eagle, like strong and steady, and they stay with their same mate the whole time. I'm like, yes, there's my non-negotiable, stays with the same mate. Okay, I got an eagle. I'm going for an eagle, God. Like, that's good. So ask the Lord, like, how do you see this person's heart? And just be ready to hear the answer. He'll show you what's under the surface of what you see. We fail to perceive deeper than appearances sometimes. And we need the Holy Spirit's help on this. And help of our covering, right? Our spiritual covering. You know the story in 1 Samuel when God instructed Samuel to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons, but he didn't tell him which one it was. And so Samuel goes and he's supposed to anoint, one of Jesse's sons to be the future king. And he sees Galan, he sees Eliab, right? And Samuel thought, oh, he must be the one. And this is what God said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. Like, this Eliab must have, there's not much description about his physical appearance, but from what we can see here, he must have been tall and handsome and muscles and all this stuff. But the Lord said, but I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That is an important thing. That's important because, here's another point, a relationship can only be as healthy as two people are healthy. If you have one person or two people that aren't fully restored, that aren't healed in their heart of wounds, of their past, of their trauma, of whatever, then, and like I was saying before, looking, if one of the people or two of the people, even worse, are looking for the other person to fill a void in their heart and hasn't let the Lord really be Lord of their heart, then that's going to be a problem. And the health of the marriage will suffer then. A marriage can only be as healthy as two people are healthy, emotionally, spiritually, maturity level, all the things. And so we already talked about getting wise counsel. Let's see if I got all my points here. It matters what the people around you, the people who love you and have known you a long time or short time, but they know you, say about this potential relationship. If lots of people around you have concerns and, are saying to you, maybe this, maybe that, consider this, then listen. Listen to that, right? They may see many red flags that you don't see. Let's use wisdom. So let's talk about something else. Are we okay? We're doing okay. All right. Do we need a deep breath? I need a sip. Ready? Okay, walk in purity. Hallelujah. Amen. We're talking about a commitment, right? Let's say two people have done the courting thing and God says yes, and they're approaching marriage, right? They've made a commitment. I just want to encourage you, walk in purity. There is such blessing in that. Be radical, like Joseph was radical and Potiphar's wife was trying to, get him into the bed. And he was radical. He just tore that coat off and ran out of there. And that's how we have to be. Position yourself for success. I talked about what you watch, like Bachelor? No, no. You know, emotional movies that is all about, you know, carnal stuff. Stay away from that. Garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is going to come out. It's going to affect how you think, how the decisions you make, and all of these things. So, can I just say this? I'm going to preface this by saying, I've heard, I can't even remember if somebody directly told me this or I've heard this. I think I've heard this among a teaching or leaders talking and stuff, that there have been people in the church that have said, I never knew that having sexual relations before marriage, I never knew that that was wrong. Okay, that always bothered me. So I have a microphone right now, and on my watch, I'm just going to make sure that I say that having sexual relationship before marriage is wrong. It's what the Bible says. It's sin. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Sometimes people think, well, I'm older. I'm in my whatever's, you know, decade. It doesn't matter. Let's go to the Word on this one, shall we? 1 Corinthians 6, 13 through 20. You say, food was made for the stomach, and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. You can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united in one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Ooh, that's good. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Amen. We got one amen. Thank you. That's the Word of God. I'm not making this up, okay? It's just wrong. Sex before marriage is just wrong. So I feel better because on my watch, I've said it, so nobody in here can say, they never talk about that at church. I didn't know. Now you know. And then you can write that verse down, 1 Corinthians 6, 13 through 20. And I'm sure there's other I know there's other references in the Word about sexual immorality. So, you know, Paul says it like this. There's a section where Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 7. He's saying, you know, I think it's better to be single, but if you can't be single, and we'll read it. If you're burning with lust, then you better just get married, right? And so here's what he says. 1 Corinthians 7, 7 through 9. But I wish everyone were single, just as I am, he says. Yet each person has a special gift from God, one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. That's Paul's words. So, fear of the Lord. Just walk in fear of the Lord and then you won't go wrong, okay? I want to give some encouragement to those who are in the wait and believing for a godly spouse, because I was there once too. And at times it was hard, it was painful, it was maybe a little bit lonely. But here's some tips from Sarah, counsel from Sarah. Pour your heart and your energy into serving God, into serving the Lord. Run hard after God, Somebody told me this one time. Have you ever heard this? Like, run hard after the things of God. Keep your eyes focused on serving God. And one day you will look next to you, to the left or right, and you'll see somebody there running at the same, you know, running after God. And okay, perhaps that's somebody that I can link up with, join up with. What do you think, God? You know, that's a very simplified version. But pour your heart into serving God, into loving him. Don't settle for anything less than God's best. That verse that we just read, where did it say? Where was it? It said, you were bought with a high price. Jesus poured out his blood for you. He loves you so much. So don't settle for anything less than God's best. He has a best mate for you, and don't settle. The wait may be long, but I think Heinz Company had it right. Good things come to those who wait on Jesus. So don't settle. Don't cave in. Grow yourself in the Lord. Pray in the Holy Spirit and let him strengthen you as you wait. Don't settle. Don't settle. I'll say it again. It's better to be single and happy than married and miserable. You could make up a little song and just sing that to yourself. You know, just remind yourself on those hard days. It's better to be, you know, I'm not going to try to make that up right now, but, you know, get a little slogan. It is so important to have a firm identity in Christ, that he is your all in all, that he's the one that fills you up. I had this thing, and it wasn't a prideful thing, but I remember sharing with some of my best friends during these years of waiting, of saying, you know what? Like, God has told me I'm quality. And it wasn't a prideful heart, but it's saying, I know my identity. I know that I'm a child of God, that I am a precious woman of God. Like, I'm quality, and I'm not going to just give that to anybody. Like, I'm not just going to throw that away. I'm not going to settle for any Joe or galan down the street that's trying to woo me with tacos or something. I don't know. He wooed me with other things. He wooed me with his heart. Praise the Lord. Here's another thing. Allow the Lord to prepare your heart and your life as you wait. Every waiting season can be turned into glory for God if you give it to him, if you surrender it to him. What do I need to learn in this time? Like, it hurts, God. I don't want to wait. But what are you trying to teach me? Right? And the timing is so important. God has his sovereign time. Timing was so important for Santos and I. I mean, God chose to reveal, maybe, I don't know if it took me longer than what God wanted, but I mean, like, Santos pursued me for, well, it's different if you ask. For him, he says he pursued me for 3 years. I think in my version, it was like a year and a half. And and I kept holding him out to here and like, no. And timing was everything. I mean, I was praying. I'm over here praying on my knees. Where's my man of God? And he's at my door bringing me flower, edible bouquets. I mean, those are good, you guys. And all these things. And my sister, I was living with my sister, and she'd say, when my heart began to change, she's like, who are you talking to? I said, you know, Santos or whatever. The one that used to annoy you so much. the one that you just kept like saying, go, like, why is he just always there? Like, she's like, that one? I'm like, yes, that one. And so now he's my husband. Praise the Lord. So timing was important. The timing was so, so key, because I know God was working things in my heart, and I'm pretty sure God was working things in his heart to get us prepared, to get us mature. And we needed that 3 years or 1.5 years to get ready and get aligned for what God had for us. Here's my last thing, and then I'm going to share a little testimony, and then we'll end. Allow the Lord to satisfy your every need. No person can take God's role of filling the desires of your heart. And so that's got to be healed. I was a little, I was very off in that. I, in my, this is why God didn't allow me to get married when I was 22, like I would have liked. All my friends were getting married. There was a season where it was like, I was always a bridesmaid. And I'm like, am I ever going to be a bride? You know, I wanted to be a bride, but I was a bridesmaid several times. And I got this practice that I learned from this experience that I'm about to tell you. When you go to a wedding, especially if you're single and it's hard, it's a little like, I wish it was me, you know, ask the Lord to minister to you when you go to that wedding. Ask, you know, get your heart right that you're there to celebrate and rejoice with them and surrender all the yuck and the frustration and the jealousy and all that stuff and ask the Lord to minister to you. So I hadn't, going into this wedding, I didn't know these things. I thought my heart was great. And I'm a bridesmaid in this wedding. It was a good friend of mine in college. And during the ceremony, the man she was marrying, it was going to be her father-in-law, was by himself at this wedding. His son, I believe, I don't know if he was the youngest son to get married or something, but they had just buried his wife, the mother of the groom, right? Had just died some, I don't know, time before. And so there was a hole missing at that wedding. And I just remember being so drawn to this man, my friend's future father-in-law. And I was just like, God, I don't get it. He was joyful. I was like watching him the whole time, this father-in-law, just like, he was joyful. He was rejoicing. And I went home, it was probably the next day. And I remember writing, I got to go find this in my journal. Like, what is it about this man? Like, why? I don't get it. Like, he's lost his wife. I don't know how many years they had been married. They're there celebrating, you know, his son's wedding without her. Shouldn't he be crushed? Shouldn't he be depressed? Shouldn't he be, like, just beside himself? Like, not have a smile on his face? And the Lord said to me, it's because he's always had me in the first place in his heart. And I was like, what? Like, to me, that man should have been depressed and blah, 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 because he was without the other one, because in my mind, like, the other person, the spouse is the one to fill you up and make you happy and the one that puts the smile on your face. And God was like rearranging all of that structure, belief system in my mind, and said deep in my heart, like, he's always had me. He's relying on me. Yes, he misses his wife. Yes, he would have loved, he's grieving, you know, his wife wasn't there to see their son get married. But I have filled his heart. He has relied on me to be his source, his true love. And that just wrecked me. And then I really had to get it through the years of making my own choices and mistakes. And I finally got it. I finally got it through going through some hard stuff, that God, you are the lover of my soul and only you can fill me. And maybe that's why, you know, it took me so many years. I was 39, I believe, when I got married, because it must have taken me that long to get the revelation and be okay. And it was God's perfect timing and God's perfect timing for Santos. And you know what? It's being married is such a blessing when you do it God's way. When you follow in, you know, you follow after him, you walk in purity, you get wise counsel, all these things that I'm reviewing, right? You take time to consult God before entering into a relationship. You be a fruit inspector. You see what comes out of their heart, what fruit comes out of their life. You have God in the center of your heart. You don't settle for anything less than God's best, and it'll be so good. You just got to do all those things, guys, and it'll be so good. And you know what? If you're listening to this and you didn't do some things the right way, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And if you messed up and you had relations before marriage, is there forgiveness? Yes, I meant to say that before. There is forgiveness. There is restoration. There is healing. God will grant that. And he, you know, if you want prayer for that today or something along these lines that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, please come up when we call for prayer. But no condemnation if you've done things differently. But, you know, from this point on, I mean, and if you're already married, you're married. But surrender your marriage, surrender your relationship to the Lord, and then help others around you, those that are single or your children, lead them, guide them, show them what the word says, pray for them. Please pray for them. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, you are so good. We love you. We bless you. We know that you're coming back, God, and we don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste time getting in messes, God. And so we thank you that, oh, you give wisdom. You give wisdom when we ask for wisdom. And I pray wisdom over every heart and life, God. Wisdom for the married folks, Father God, wisdom for the singles. God, that we would walk, no matter what our marital status is, we would walk in fear of you. We would keep our eyes fixed on you, that you are coming back, that we want to serve you. And God, I pray blessings over the married couples, the kingdom unions that you have put into place, that they can serve you wholeheartedly together, blessing and bringing honor to you. And Father, for the singles, that they can use this single season, or if you've called them to singlehood, Father, that they are blessed beyond measure. Father, I pray for each and every heart that we would know and have a revelation of your love, of your satisfying love, your all-conditional, unconditional love, Father, that meets every need, that fills every void in our heart, that we're not looking to a man or a woman or any relationship to fill a void in our hearts and an empty space that only you can fill. And so we surrender that spot in our heart to you right now, God. Would you be the one to fill it? Would you be the one to heal our hearts of past wounds and hurts, Father, that we can learn to trust people again, that we can learn to relate to people in a healthy way, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving the singles wisdom and strength and power from you, God, to wait and to do things with wisdom, to walk in fear of the Lord. And when they're considering a relationship, God, Holy Spirit, you show them. Show them the heart of the person. Reveal whatever could be hidden. Bring it out to the light. Show them, God, just like you showed me that my husband had the quality of an eagle. Show them what is in that person's heart, God, that you know, that you can see. Thank you, Lord, for leading them through to victory, to honoring you in such a powerful way. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I bless those listening on social media today. I ask your blessings over them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. I pray for healing for anyone dealing with symptoms and sickness and pain in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You must go. Sickness, disease, illness, bad diagnosis, go in Jesus' name. Go, go, and go now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, let the word of healing rise up on the inside of us. I pray focus that each one of us and those dealing with sickness and symptoms and illness would, and believing, those that are believing for healing, we would just grab hold like a bulldog to the word of God on healing and not let go, that we would focus on it, that we would plant that incorruptible seed of the word in our hearts and watch it grow and watch the healing manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that we would say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord, all my inmost being, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, and he crowns your life with compassion compassion. Thank you, God. Thank you for that, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.